Welcome to RailFans. I'm Shane Sege. Join us as we discover Ottawa's O-Train, Toronto's subway, and Montreal's metro system together. Joining us today is Jean-Vincent Lacroix, who is the spokesperson for the Réseau Express Métropolitain, or REM.
So tell us a little bit about the REM, or the Réseau Express Métropolitain, that's being built in Montreal.
Yes, the Réseau Express Métropolitain is a brand new light metro system that we're right now building in Montreal region. This metro system will be around 67 kilometers, 26 stations. We're going to start on the south shore of Montreal in Brossard. We're going to cross a brand new bridge that is called the Samuel de Champlain Bridge to come downtown Montreal to the Gare Centrale. And then something that's going to be new for Montreal, the REM will cross the Mont-Royal and be divided in three branches. So we're going to have branches that's going to the North Shore, to the Montagne and Laval. We're going to have a branch that's going through the West Island of Montreal. And then the last branch, the third branch, will go to the airport. So this is a major project for the region of Montreal. It's been 50 years since we didn't have a project of this magnitude. The last one was, of course, the Metro of Montreal. But to give you a little bit of the size of our project compared to the actual Metro of Montreal, our project, as I said, is 67 kilometers. The actual Metro is 71 kilometers. So practically doubling the metro system of Montreal. Of course, it's a light metro. It means that we have some sections that are by tunnel, but most of the project is outside and on elevated structure. So that's part of the flexibility that we have with a light metro system. We have some part by tunnel, but also some part that will be outside the outside with elevated structures.
So can you tell us a little bit now about where these new lines and segments will go, and when do you expect each segment to open for revenue service?
Yes, the first branch, as I said, is from Brossard, so south shore of Montreal, to downtown Montreal. We target to open this branch next year, so in summer 2022. It will bring a real flexible, frequent, fast service. Because you have to imagine that right now for the south shore of Montreal, we have about hundreds of buses that has to cross to come every morning and coming back every night. So it's going to change and transform the way to travel from the south shore. And after that, in 2023, we want to open our central section. So from Gare Centrale to a station that is called Du Ruisseau in Saint-Laurent. And after that, in 2024, we want to open our last two branches. So the North Shore branch to Laval and the Montagne, the West Island branch, and at last, in the end of 2024, the connection with the airport to downtown Montreal. So right now, we've launched the work in 2018. So it's been around 3 years that the project has been under construction. We have just coming through 15, 16 months of major pandemics. So right now, we're pretty proud of every teams that are on site and continue to build this project. It's something really, it's part of what we have to deal for. So build a major project, but also have to pass through this major pandemic. So right now, with the schedule that we I just present, it's been actualized recently because of the pandemics, but it's our target right now.
On the central section, there are three stations that are going to be connected to the metro, the Montreal Metro downtown. So namely Bonaventure, McGill, and Édouard Montpetit. So can you tell us a little about each of these stations and some of the unique features that are planned that people will find in these stations?
Yeah, this three station is pretty much the art of our networks, because the connection with the metro is going to bring a lot of people. If we pass through each of them, the Gare Centrale next to the Bonaventure station of the Metro of Montreal, the Orange Line. It's a connection that is really important in Montreal. It's the connection with a lot of different train service and the Metro of Montreal. So the goal is, of course, to have a connection at the Gare Centrale. We're pretty much building a station into a station, into the Gare Centrale, into the actual station. So we took, you have to imagine yourself, the Gare Centrale is, I think it's 12 rail that you have under the station. We're gonna took a couple of them to build the station of the RAM, because right now it's actual train that are going to the main station, the Gare Centrale. So we're gonna transform it for a light metro. After that, just a couple meters, it's gonna be the station McGill. Even if it's really near the Gare Centrale, our goal with this station is to do a connection with the Green Line of the Metro of Montreal, but also to divide the frequency and the achalandage, the ridership, because a lot of person right now are coming to the Gare Centrale, so it brings a lot of different problems because we have a lot of people at the same time at the main station. So it brings people at the same time because it's major train that coming to the Gare Centrale. So there are a lot of people are coming out of the train at the same time. So from the past year, we see that the Gare Centrale has some issue about all the fluidity of the passengers coming out to Montreal, coming down to the Gare Centrale. So the goal with the RAM is, well, of course, doing a connection with the Metro of Montreal at the Green Line, but also to divide the ridership. So with our projection, we see that Megis should be our second most achalandage, with most people, with most users on our network, because right now you're going to have, with the RAM, two choices to go to downtown Montreal. You're going to, of course, have the Gare Centrale, but Megis is also a strategic location for people going to downtown Montreal. And also this station, it's a place where Montreal wants to have its new center, its new center in Montreal. So it's well connected. It's going to be near St. Catherine Street. It's going to be near, l'Université McGill, the University of McGill, a lot of different industry and siège sociaux in Montreal. So it's going to be a strategic place to be. And after that, we're going to pass through the Mont-Royal and come to Édouard-Montpetit. And Édouard-Montpetit, it's also a strategic location because it has been thinking for more than 20, 30 years ago when they built the blue line. They've thought that maybe it's going to be a great idea to have this connection of the blue line to the tunnel of Mont-Royal, to have a connection with the tunnel and the blue line. So this connection was pretty much I've been thought about, but the main challenge was a technical challenge, because the blue line, it's pretty much near the surface, but to go down above and go link into the tunnel of Mont-Royal, it's nearly 70 meters. So we had to think about how we can go to that. And we launched the word, because with the actual technology, the goal, it's, for the people working on the station, it's pretty much it's a lot of excavation and they use some micro dynamites to not have too much vibration, because this micro dynamite is being doing next to a lot of different buildings, the University of Montreal, of course. So we have to limit the vibration by doing so much of all the digging that we have to do. Right now, it's pretty much achieved, the digging and the connection. We have finished our connection with the surface and the Tunnel du Mont-Royal. And at the end of the day, this station will be the one of the most profound, one of the most deep station in North America. It's going to be the second most deepest station in North America and the most deepest in Canada. So it was a technical challenge, but it will change also the connection for University of Montreal, because right now with this connection, you're going to be around 3 minutes from downtown Montreal. So it's going to be a very interesting connection for Montreal to pass through the Mont-Royal, which is a natural obstacle in Montreal. You always have to pass next to it, or with buses or with by cars. So right now it took, if you're coming by buses or by cars from University of Montreal to downtown Montreal, it took around 30 minutes. With the REM, it's going to be, as I said, 3 minutes. So this connection is really important for us.
Well, definitely very exciting. Three stations really to keep an eye on once they open and to explore. So to talk a little bit more about the station at the Gare Centrale, the entrance is going to come up onto the main grand hall of the station, such as it did with the La Ligne de Montagne. It will integrate into there. Do you have any idea when we will see changes in the actual grand hall of the station really start to become visible at that point for an entrance?
It should be in the coming, maybe not months, but next year is going to see more action there. Right now we have put an image of the REM saying that we're coming to Gare Centrale in the coming months, years. It's going to be this means that this is the exact location when the entrance of the REM will be. So it's pretty much on the main floor, as you said. Right now, most of the work is being done in the Gare Centrale itself, but not at the place that people can see. We pretty much close the area when the work is being done because of all the dust and the noise that the work is being made. But our goal is to open it in 2023. So pretty much before putting in service, we have to do some tests. So around six months before putting the main this station into service, there's going to be some tests, because we always have to have some around 6 months of tests before having our first customer. So in next years, maybe people are going to come, or early 2023, going to see more action in that sector.
Now, recently, it was also announced that the REM will expand to the east of the island as the next phase. So can you talk a little bit about this expansion? What does this mean and where will it go?
Yes, we've announced last December that we have a project for the east of Montreal to complete our, the complete part of our vision for the REM in Montreal. It's a branch, it's two branches, one that's going to be connected to Pointe-aux-Trembles in the east of Montreal, and the other one will go northeast to Montréal-Nord. It's going to be 32 kilometers of light metro system, has like the REM that is under construction right now. And it's going to be connected to downtown Montreal. We're going to have a series of strategic location to deserve the downtown Montreal. The last one will be Robert Bourassa, which is going to be pretty much next to the main station, La Gare Centrale. A couple of meters next to it. So it's pretty much a connection to the Gare Centrale. Right now, this project is under consultation and planification. So it's what we call a projet de référence. So it's not quite finished. We have to still complete our studies, our technical analysis, our environmental studies. We have to integrate some optimization coming from what people have been asked during the consultation. So it's not the final project, but it is giving you a great idea of what we think is the best solution for the east of Montreal. So when you look at these two projects altogether, it's near 100 kilometers of new light metro system for Montreal that's going to be open in the next decade. So that's bringing a whole vision for how to transport yourself in Montreal, and we think that it's something that is needed to connect different places. Montreal that is not right now connected, or you have to take a bus or of course take your cars, and we have to come up with a great service, a great solution, and at the end of the day, our main goal is to took people from their cars and to give them an idea of to give a taste of a well integrated transport solution that will make them choose this way of transport themselves for the next decades.
So we've talked now about the first phase that's under construction right now. We've talked now about the second phase going to the east. What do you see as the ultimate build out for this? Is there other directions, other destinations that this could ultimately go in the future?
Right now, we have some projects that are under analysis, because you have to keep in mind that our main model is that the government of Quebec is indicating to us what is the needs or what is the sector that we have to look at. So we're not deciding to develop a system as we wish. We have, first of all, to receive a direction for the government of Quebec to see a look at this sector. For example, the East, it was exactly that. The government of Quebec said, look at the East of Montreal, see if you find a solution that is interesting to ensure the collective transport needs, but also that is can be integrated to our business model. Because La Caisse de dépôt, which are the La Société Mère of CDPQ Infra, as at the end of the day, the goal to build some project, but also to have some revenue, not a high revenue, but a stable revenue through the time, because it's always an investment for La Caisse de dépôt. So right now we have this project that is being built that is answering the needs and the mission of the CAIS. We have this project to ease that we pretty much confident can bring a great solution of transport, but also be linked to our mission. And right now we have two others solution that we're looking right now, and we didn't finish the analysis yet, so I cannot say what's going to be the next steps for this project. One of them is for Laval, and the other one for the North Shore of Montreal, and the other one is for the South Shore of Montreal. So it's been two projects that has been announced that we have to look at a solution. And right now we'll still continue to look at if we can find a solution that, as I say, really answer the need of the government of Quebec and the population, but also it can be integrated to our mission of at CDPQ Infra.
Now, next question has to do with the rolling stock that's going to be used on the line. So the Alstom Metropolis trains have been chosen. So can you tell us a little bit about why these trains were chosen and what kind of features they're going to be bringing to passengers riding the lines?
Yeah, we launched an appel d'offre. We launched a proposal for everybody in 2017. So it was a major appel d'offre to make sure that we go see the interest of all the around the world, the building of cars. So we had different proposals that we received, and Alstom, well, it's not just Alstom, it's a consortium called GPMM, which Alstom is the main one for the building of the cars, and the other one is SNC-Lavalin for the operation. So they win the tender process, and right now they are the one that build the cars for the REM. We work closely with Alstom to really develop a design that can be unique for Montreal. That's something that was really important for us, unique in different ways. One of the first ways was with our winter climate. We want to make sure that the design of the Metropolis is being taken to make sure that we can confront and pass through weather conditions that are particular to Montreal. So we developed that specifically. We have did a lot of different tests. Part of the tests were in the closed chamber in Vienna, which is one of the most recognized climate chamber in the whole world. So we bring the cars up to plus 38 degrees Celsius and minus 38 degrees Celsius to make sure that we, in different kind of climate, it answer well. We also do some tests in real condition in Montreal the last winter. We're going to do the same this coming winter. So we're going to have two winter in a real context, because last winter it wasn't too cold, so we wish that maybe it's going to be more cold this winter, but it's pretty much important to test it in real condition in Montreal. And so that's part of the design. The other part is we want just for an instant aesthetic vision that it's bringing some acclaimed air or thinking of Montreal. So we develop a design that bring a lot of lights into the cars. We make sure with Alstom that we have one of the most wide window in front of the cars, because it's going to be for Montrealers a new experience that you don't have anybody that is driving the cars. Right now, the actual Metropolitan, there's some drivers that you never had this chance to be in front of cars when you are coming into the metro, because of the REM is outside, as I said, because of the REM is also an elevated structure, and because it's a brand new experience for Montrealers, we make sure with Alstom that we have really a wide window in front of the cars and really going down as much as they can do, because we want also that small children around 5 to 6 years old can also have a great view on Montreal. So we put the accent on that, more on a experience for users, experience of user that we want it great. As I said, we have to think of all the details. If you want to come people from their cars coming into Transport Collective, you have to make sure that the whole experience is great. So we think that, yes, frequency is really important. Fast travel is really important. Fiability is really important. Free Wi-Fi, because we're going to have free Wi-Fi, is really important now with everybody on their cell phone. But also just to have a cars that are light, that are bring the more luminosity as you can get from outside, a great view on Montreal. It's all this small part of the experience that I'm going to bring people into collective transport. So we look at that design. The other thing that was really important for us, it's the design to have the for the service of the people with less mobility, with people who have deficiency, eyes deficiency, who don't see well. So we look with Alstom team to have a great contrast, mostly into the cars, not the design outside, but into the cars. So all the colors that we choose, it wasn't just for that we wanted beautifully, we wanted also to have a purpose. So if you look at the bars, if you look at the contrast between the colors, we look at different angles to make sure that for everybody it's going to be well being seen during the day, during the night. So winter, the more the experience, and also the people with less mobility, this all part of this bring us to a unique design for the cars of the REM.
Now, another element about the REM that is quite unique, especially in this portion of Canada, is that it is fully automated. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because the only other system that you can really think of in Canada right now is Vancouver SkyTrain. So bringing this technology east is definitely very exciting. So can you talk a little bit about the automated train operations that are going to be taking place on the REM?
Yes, this is a decision that we took in the first when we launched the first step of the project. We really want to have something that bringing the most most modern technology into automatizations. We chose the Geo AKAT, which is the most advanced technology in automation. But it brings a lot of different challenges. One of the challenges is that you have to do a lot of tests before putting the REM into service. So right now we start the test last winter. We're going to have 13 months of tests before putting the REM in service, because you have to look at all the little details to make sure that the cars, every location of the cars is being seen into our main center. You have to make sure that there's nothing on the rails, there's the system anti-intrusion. You have to think that the cars also manage to see the ridership, because when there's a lot of people, the cars of the REM has to be at the same level of the platform at the station to make sure that for a person in a wheelchair, for example, there's no bump. So the car has to always adjust itself. So there's a lot of tests that has been needed, but there's also a lot of opportunity that you have with the automated system. The cars will adjust its speed if they have to. If you have a delay, well, all the system will adjust itself to compensate the delay and making sure that the system is keeping running and maybe go faster or lower, slower, because you have to adjust yourself. It give us a lot of flexibility. So for example, if during the outside the rush hour, you have a main event, like in Montreal, the Canadian Montreal has been well in the series. If we have the RAM in service during that period, we can see that next to La Sandelle, we have our station of the RAM that's going to be there. So we can adjust during the after a game to have more frequency, because you know that there's a lot of people coming outside the Centre Bell. So you have a lot of flexibility. You have a lot of fiability with an automated system. What an automated system bring, it's also to have platform screen doors. So that's something also is going to be new, not just more for Montreal, but also for North America. You don't have a lot of system in North America. I think for the magnitude of our project is going to be the first for a system, a metro system of more than 50 kilometers. It's going to be one of the first to have this platform screen doors. But platform screen doors brings a lot of advantage. You have, of course, you won't be, if it's raining or if it's cold, you won't be outside. It's going to be close, so it's going to be warmer. It's going to be more comfortable. But also, people cannot. You won't have your cell phone onto the tracks, or something won't fall onto the tracks. So it bring more security. But because nothing kind of fall on the tracks, it's also bring more fiability, because a lot of time that a metro system, not just that, there's a lot of things that can happen into a metro system. But if you see at our metro system in Montreal, if you look at the statistic, a lot of time that there's some delays or problems because somebody has left or there's something felt from there and into the tracks. A lot of time it's the cell phone. So because of the platform screen doors, you make sure that nothing is on the tracks. When the doors are when the cars is coming, the platform screen door are open at the same times of the cars. That can help us having less people trying to keep them because they want to enter, because they have two system of doors. So when you look at the other system around the world which have this system, you have less person trying to keep the door open because you have two system of doors. So as I say, it's all in the small details, but as you can see with the automation, you have a lot of challenge because of the tests and all the details that you will have to look at. But also at the end of the day, when the system is up and running, you have a lot of benefits, advantage.
What is CDPQ Infra? And can you explain how CDPQ Infra is financing and managing this project and how it differs from the traditional or P3 models for such a infrastructure project?
Yeah, CDPQ Infra is a subsidiary of La Caisse de dépôt et de placement du Québec. So it's a subsidiary that has an expertise to develop project infrastructure project from A to Z. So really a one-stop shop. That's the main idea of our model, to make sure that we can develop the concept, reach the finance, do all the analysis, on the technical, but also environmental ridership study. And after conception, not giving it to a construction, to also make sure that we can supervise the construction. And after that, we can also supervise the operation. So really a one-stop shop. We can do the old phases, bringing a project from a concept, first concept, into a realization. So that's the main idea. Why La Caisse? It's because if you see around the world, there's a lot of financial structure that see that there's a great opportunity to finance some infrastructure project. It's been a couple years now that you see around the world that the main players see that financing major project, infrastructure project, it brings stabilized revenue. not like les marchés boursiers, like la bourse that is up and down. It's really stabilized because it's when you have it built, it's something that people use on a daily basis. So it's really stabilized. So it's a really interesting for a financial institution to finance that kind of project. But because everybody has appetite for that, there's a lot of everybody wants to put. So sometimes you have this competition from different players. And the goal with La Caisse and CDPQA is really to say, we can, of course, finance infrastructure project like we've done for the around next 10 or more years. But now with the CDPQA model, we cannot just finance a project. We can also be the main manager to develop it, build it, and operate it. And that's the main idea. It's really to bring a player like this who have a brand new expertise. So we've been building this brand new team for La Caisse, people coming from the world of infrastructure and transport collective system. We're building this team. We passed from 30 person from more than 100 now, but also to make sure that this team is have a different perspective, different expertise, and they work all together to make sure that we can bring this project up to the main idea, to its accomplishment. So that's the idea. And the link with our mission is when we do build that kind of project, it's all, of course, to answer needs for the collectivity. Now it's in Quebec, but it can be a collectivity around the world. It's always to bring some solution to problems, for example, in collective transport problems. And by doing so, to make sure that we financing this project, but we can also have different kind of partner. For example, in Quebec, with the actual REM, the Gouvernement du Québec, it's a partner, le Gouvernement fédéral also, with the BIC, La Banque d'Infrastructure Canada. We also have the ARTM, which is a partner, Hydro-Québec. So we have different kind of partner, but the investment that we put into the project, the main idea, it's for a long-term period. It's not short-term period because it's collective transport. It's not like Google or Netflix, something like that. It's a vision of long-term perspective and to bring stabilized revenue. So it's really what we've called at first the cercle vertueux, so the virtuous circle. It's you have this main idea of building this tangible service that brings something to the collectivity, but also revenue for a long-term period that are stabilized. And for our part, you said the difference between a PPP and our model. It's at the end of the day, the revenue that will be made by the REM or the project is coming back into the pocket of our deposants, and our deposants are the people that we are working for. It's all the Québécois, because our goal is to make money for the retraite des Québécois, for the So that's why we're not exactly a PPP. We're mostly a public institution. The main idea of La Caisse des Dépôts is to make sure, we call it le Badlen des Québécois. So it makes sure that we bring money, we give money to pour la retraite the all the Québécois that, which are our deposants. That's why we present it like a virtuous circle. The main idea of when we announced the project at first, the what we said is, when you're going to buy a ticket for the REM, you're going to give it money for your, I'm sorry for the term in English, la retraite in English, the retirement in a couple of years. So that was this virtuous circle. You're going to buy a ticket now for today to use the collective transport, but it's a way to give it back to when you're going to retire. So that's the thinking of our model.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Jean-Vincent Lacroix. Thank you again for speaking about the REM and this very exciting project for Montreal. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.